Hey, I just want to start off by reading this scripture, passage. It'll be up on your screen. It's 2 Corinthians 5:19. It says, as he was committed to us the message of reconciliation, we are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making his appeal through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. We are in this series called One Life, and one of the questions I want to ask all of you as we dive in this morning, if you call yourself a Christ follower or a Christian, whatever label you want it, and you put your trust in Jesus, my question to you is, what kind of ambassador are you? Are you an ambassador that may be, you know, when it comes to talking to people who are non-Christ followers, do you shrink back and kind of become really reclusive and you don't want to say anything, or that's just not for me, or that's someone for someone else? Or are you on the opposite end where you're obnoxious and judgmental and, quite honestly, a jerk, right? I can say that. And just annoying, and you're actually pushing people away. And in this series, we're talking about this and trying to figure out what's that balance, right? What's that balance of being able to care for somebody, love somebody, but not be so pushy that they, like, I don't want to actually have a conversation with you. And so we thought it'd be a great idea to invite some folks. These are friends of mine. They've become friends of mine. These are friends of mine that we thought would be great. What if, instead of us talking about theory or giving you a perspective from a pastor, what if we actually talk to people who would say, okay, I am not a Christian, I'm not a Christ follower, but I'm open to having spiritual conversations. Wouldn't it be great to actually hear what they have to say and maybe even listen? And so here's the thing. I'm going to challenge you with a couple things, two things really, from the beginning, and I'll come back at the end. First thing I want to challenge you is just listen. Just listen and hear. How would you answer these questions? Just to think about it. Just to think about, so as you're listening, but also if you're able to do listening and also ask yourself the same thing, how would you answer these questions? So before we start, why don't you give them a warm welcome? So I'm going to start with Josh. Josh, why don't you go ahead and introduce yourself, your name, maybe something that you do or hobby, and answer the question. Like, when you think of fun, what comes to your mind when you think of fun? Go for it, Josh.
Okay. Hi, everyone. My name is Josh. Let's see. I work in clinical research now full time. I'm 25, so I'm pretty young. Applying to med school this cycle, so hoping for the best. I work per diem in a hospital in Rockville in the emergency department. And fun for me will be anything that's not work, studying. I love to go to DC, love Adams Morgan. Got some good clubs and friends down there. So
awesome. How about you, Rachel?
Hi, everybody. I'm Rachel, and I live in Westminster. And when I think about fun, I think about, like extreme, like jumping off of stuff, like skydiving, stuff like that.
Okay.
Get the heart beating a little bit.
All right. All right, Nichelle.
Hi, my name is Nichelle. I am a preschool teacher currently. And for fun, I like to be more indoors. And I like to read and do crafty things.
So. Awesome. Well, my name is Jermaine, and fun for me is turning down these two spotlights because it's like really blinding us. So if we could turn those like off, that'd be awesome because I can't see right now. So that's one. That might be, okay, we'll get to it. We're just going to jump right in. So we have a couple questions that we're going to ask, and I'm going to start with you, Nichelle. We have three scales during this time, and one of the first scales, or the actual first scale, is called the Christianity scale. A Christianity scale is basically saying, okay, where are you at on the Christianity scale? Number 10 is someone who is like a super duper Christian, like I'm all in, I'm going for it, you know, pastor, missionary, whatever you want to call it. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you so much. A 5 would be someone who has, okay, I have made a decision to follow Christ. I guess they're back. I guess they're not. And then a number one would be someone who is skeptical, maybe a little bit doubting, maybe cynical, maybe not cynical. So, Nichelle, where are you at on the Christianity scale?
At this moment in time, I would say I'm a two about, because I personally don't believe in a God at this moment in time. And so, yeah, that's where I'm at.
Awesome.
I'm a two.
Rachel?
I would say I'm at a four because I identify as an agnostic, which means I don't say that there is a God and I don't say that there's not a God. And I was raised in a Christian household, so I do live by Christian principles. I do entertain Christian stuff because I love it. Positive.
I would say I'm at a four as well. I grew up in a predominantly Catholic household, but in Peru. So I still have some of those principles within me, and I still believe in a deity or something greater than myself. But I don't really follow a religion at this moment in my life.
Okay. So Josh, I'm going to stick with you, and we're going to talk about this whole God thing. We as Christians, in Isaiah 40, 20, 28, it says, the Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. Christians would say that God is the creator, transcendent, and personal. But how about you? What or who do you think God is?
I can only really speak for myself and what has impacted me directly. I've heard stories, I've heard anecdotes from other people. But for me, God is not a figure. I don't think of a man or a woman or something that has form. I think of more of a force, supernatural entity. And I think its manifestation is in a bunch of things, love, fear, not necessarily all positive things. It can be negative things too. I think it's just something when something forward or prohibiting something from happening.
Yeah. Rachel, how about you?
I see God as a power greater than myself, and something I can rely on outside of myself, because if I relied on myself all the time, I'd probably get into trouble a lot, which I have. and I agree with Josh about God is made up of, well, I mostly think of it as positive stuff, like love, respect, like loving your neighbor, all that stuff.
I think that God is... something is he's a thought, he's a feeling, but I personally think that it's this God. Well, actually, I don't know. I can't speak specifically on any God. That's the point, is there's so many different religions. There's thousands of religions in the world, so I think of God as this idea used to comfort people in life.
That's good. Rachel, I'm going to come to you. We're talking about this God and talking now, let's talk about the Bible. We as Christians believe that the Bible is actually God's word, like his truth, his authority. We see that in scripture. Jesus talks about this. Many of the folks in this room who call themselves Christians, like God's word is authoritative. It's truth, right? How about you? What's your view on the Bible?
I haven't read the whole Bible, but I've listened to pieces of it, and my personal opinion of it is it's very powerful. The words in it are very powerful, and it's a good, positive words to live by. But at this moment, I believe it was, like a long time ago, people didn't have a lot of direction, and so they just lived off of their human instincts, yeah. And they didn't have a lot of direction, and I think things weren't going very well, so I believe that people got together and wrote the Bible as a way, as instructions to live a better life. And for me, it's like, whether it's true or not, it's still positive. Like, yeah, that's it.
Michelle, how about you?
As a reader myself, I really appreciate...
And you read a lot of books.
I do. I read a lot. I appreciate the literature and the stories in itself. I think they are impactful. and meaningful. I don't necessarily think that God himself wrote this story, or the Bible, sorry. And I think it was, you know, stories passed on over time that were eventually put into the Bible.
So you believe that the Bible is just stories, not necessarily the Word of God?
Yeah, that's what I would say, yeah.
How about you, Josh?
I would say my answer is pretty aligned with Nichelle's. I think anybody can admire the Bible. I think it's a great work of literature and stories, and the intentions and morals behind it and principles that the stories tell you hold truth for everybody, I think. Whether it's written by God himself or themselves, I can't really opinionate on, because I really haven't organized my thoughts for that yet. However, I think that it's sacred and holy, and there's many versions of it across other religions that are also sacred and holy.
Yeah. Well, talk about the Jesus question, right? The guy, right? Some would say that Jesus never existed. Some would say that, yeah, he walked on earth. Some would say he was just a prophet, a good teacher. We, as Christ followers, Christians, we believe that God came in flesh. And even Jesus said that he was the way, the truth, and the life. He claimed to be God. So, Rachel, what would you say, or who would you say Jesus is?
I do not believe the way Christians believe Jesus was. Mm-hmm. I don't know whether he was a real person or not. Like, that's the agnostic in me saying I really don't know. But what I do know is that he's like the example of what people should live by if they want like a peaceful and serene life.
Josh, how about you?
I acknowledge and, you know, believe in his existence. I don't know that where my beliefs kind of fall out of line with Christians is I don't really know who he was, and I don't really want to believe what somebody else told me he was. If he was a great man, that's great. But that's really all, as far as I can opinionate.
Michelle?
I personally believe that Jesus Christ was a real person that was here at some point in time, really long time ago, in the Middle East somewhere. And I believe he was probably, you know, really inspiring. He was a really good neighbor, friend, teacher, and I believe he was an inspiration for, you know, the Bible and all the stories that come after.
So I'm going to stick with you. So, okay, Jesus may have been real in the Middle East. We as Christians, we believe like Jesus actually died on the cross for the sins of the world, everyone's sins, and then he rose from the dead. That's a kind of like a.
It's a really good story.
What's your thoughts on that? Do you think he died? Well, obviously, he did die. If he existed, he's no longer here. But him rising from the dead, do you believe that? And if he did rise from the dead, like he rose from the dead for everyone's sins, what's your thoughts on that?
I personally don't believe that in this point in time that someone came back from the dead.
Okay, all right. Do you believe that he died for people's sins, or you just don't believe he died and rose?
I actually wouldn't know. I don't.
I believe it is a story in the Bible, and like I said, I thought it was written by man back in the day. But I don't mean to be disrespectful, but every time I see that, I think about zombie Jesus.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. How about you, Josh?
I want to believe in the idea of resurrection. I was a science major, and now I'm applying to medical school, so I like the idea of resurrection, and it makes sense with other biological phenomenon and this whole idea of decomposition and then nutrients and then growing new things. The principle behind it makes sense. The real life application of it is another thing for me. I don't really know if I believe in it strongly enough to say that I would believe that Jesus came back to life or he died, and what purposes did he die for, because I wasn't there. And if it is true and he, you know, rose for our sins and all that, why just Jesus? Why was he the only one that came back to life? Why there are other people that are good, there are other people that do extraordinary things for this world that also I think God would admire. Why do those people not get to resurrect or come and continue to do great things for this place?
I appreciate that. Michelle, I'm going to come back to you. So life after death, like what happens? What is your perspective on it? What do you think about that when you think of, you know, when we die? Is there life after death? Is there a heaven? Is there a hell? What, from your perspective, like what do you believe?
Well, I can say I don't know the answer. None of us do. And I believe, I mean, I don't, like I said, I don't know. But as of right now, I just think that, you know, we cease, you know, our consciousness kind of ends, or, you know, it's just peaceful sleep. I don't really believe in a heaven and hell. I think that they were, heaven and hell, their idea was formed to comfort people, because nobody knows what happens after death. And so I feel like they're a tool to comfort people with the thought of, you know, what happens after I pass, so.
Yeah, thank you. Rachel?
I agree with Nichelle about, like, I don't really know what happens, but it is comforting because death is one of those things that a lot of people are afraid of. So I think the idea of life after death is just a tool for comfort. But I'm a recovering opiate addict, and I have overdosed probably like 6 or 7 times. And when that happened, in my experience, it was just like a light switch. It was dark. And then, of course, when I came back, I just opened my eyes. So going through that, it kind of solidifies my idea of like maybe there's just nothing. I mean, maybe, I don't know. I wasn't dead for that long, so. Maybe it was something happens more than after 5 minutes.
How are you, Josh? I mean, you work in a medical field. You've probably seen a lot of things that many of us haven't seen or don't want to see. What's your thoughts about life after death, heaven, hell? Is it real? Is it a real place?
I think faith is something that people really go to when they're in moments of need, and I can recall multiple instances where people will fall to their knees and begin worshiping and doing all these acts of religion when they need it. For me personally, I just, the idea of a hell and a heaven is, it's too black and white for me. I don't like to think of God as somebody I should fear or somebody that I need to impress or need to check off tick boxes so I can get my pathway to heaven. If I'm a good person, if I do right things, I think an afterlife should be welcoming to me. I don't think of myself as like needing to earn my way somewhere. I think my actions will speak for themselves, and I think that should also apply to a lot of other people.
And so I want to piggyback on that a little bit. If there is a heaven, if there is a heaven, is that a place that you would want to go?
When I think of heaven or how we talk about it, I think of more of the people that I've lost, good people. So I would like to think that in this whole scheme of things, I've gone to heaven. And for that reason, I would like to go there, but not because of this ethereal idea that we have for it.
Any of you else want to answer that question? You don't have to. It was a side sub-question.
I would love to go to heaven after I die. Okay. It's a lot better sounding than just black darkness.
True. Well, Rachel, I'm going to stick with you. So we just had some basic questions just to see where you're at. So, I mean, these folks don't know who you are. I kind of have grown a little bit to know you a little bit. So, but this morning, but you are correct. Number 10 is I am very confident. I think everything I said was totally accurate. And the number 1 is like, I got some doubts. I'm not really sure. Where would you fit on that scale?
I think within the scope of this conversation we're having, I am a number 10 confident that I don't know.
Okay, okay. All right. Okay, so like a zero.
A zero and a 10.
Yeah, you take the one out, and then you're left with the zero. Exactly. How about you, Nichelle? That's a big question, right? Where do you feel on that scale, that confidence scale?
I would say I'm about a 5. I'm like 50-50 because I feel confident in my answers, but I learn something new every day, and I grow and change from it every day. So as of right now, I'd say I'm like halfway confident.
There you go. Right in the middle.
Right in the middle.
Awesome. Josh, how about you?
I think Nichelle said it perfectly. I'm a 5. I only like to speak on my experiences and how I feel, apart from all the other stories that I've heard and my upbringing as a Catholic. But I'm at a 5. I'm open to change. I'm always open to hearing new perspectives, hearing new opinions, learning, whether that been from Christian faith or Islam or whatever other faith. I like learning and opening my mind to new possibilities and things.
Josh, I want to stay with you. Because we've been talking about just like some baseline questions. Now we want to talk a little bit about your experiences, right? So I'm just gonna—I got my cards here, trusty cards, like big print. So because I know in a couple years I'll be using reading glasses. What has been your past experience? Okay, what has been your past experience at attending church, visiting churches, or even engaging in spiritual conversations with us Christians who've tried to talk to you about Christian things? How has that gone? I know that's a big question, but what have been some of your experiences, whether going to church, visiting church, or even talking or having a conversation with Christians, spiritual conversation?
I would say my conversations with people of Christian faith is very limited, and I don't want to generalize based off the very, very few conversations I've had with Christians that have come to me and tried to talk to me, so I'm kind of going to overlook that part of the question. My personal experience growing up in Peru, going to Catholic church, and everything in Peru revolves around Catholicism, my education, my family, everything was Catholic-based. Bible classes every Sunday, you know, First Communion, baptism, all of that. For me, I'm just a very curious person, and I really like explanations and learning, and I come from a science background, so I just remember questioning a lot and asking, and unfortunately at that time, the father, the pastor, for the church that I was attending, I would just remember distinctly that I didn't really get the answers that I sought for, and when I questioned things, I was, you know, put down for it and told not to question it, that that's the way it is, and if you don't believe that that's the way it is, then, you know, you're not welcome, and that's not right. So I kind of just was kind of turned off by that. I want to learn more, but I also want to have the opportunity to question and learn more on top of what I'm already learning. So if you kind of turn that off in me, then I can't really open myself as much as I would like to.
That's good. You said something I caught on. So did you say that you have never had a spiritual conversation as an adult in your adult years?
I think in my adult years, not with Christianity faith specifically, and I mean, it's not really a conversation. I mean, yeah, you'll go to DC and you'll hear those people, you know, with their signs.
Those are our favorite people.
Yeah, you know, telling me that I'm walking down the street and I'll go to hell, but yeah. Just, okay.
Hold a second, I gotta put a pause and see if anybody's here with a sign. No, okay, no signs, because we would escort them. No, go ahead.
So, I haven't had like a one-on-one where I sit with someone and they're like, okay, you know, let's talk about this, or that conversation is also very deep and needs to be, you know, introduced in a more very seamless and organic manner. I think if you kind of bombard somebody with that question, you might turn them off and be like, whoa, that's really deep for...
What's some of your past experiences, if you have any, whether it is going to church, visiting a church, or even having spiritual conversations with someone? How has that gone? Has it been a good experience, bad experience?
My experience has been off and on throughout my life. As a young child, like 4 or 5, I lived in North Carolina at the time. My mom would take me occasionally to church. I remember I had no idea what was going on. I would be in the Sunday school, and I'm just like, I don't know. I don't know any of these answers.
Did you have good snacks, though?
Yeah, the snacks were good, you know, that I remember, yeah. I just remember sitting there, you know, just, you know. Oh, that's what I told you. I was like, I remember coloring, and I was like during the service, and that's where I discovered red and blue make purple.
Yes. And you are wearing purple today. You look great.
I am.
You look
great. And so when I was a little bit older, when I moved back to Maryland, my mom and I didn't go to church anymore, but my biological father and his family, they would go to church. So anytime I was with him, we would go, and I would try so hard. I would go in, be like, I'm going to listen, I'm going to learn something. And then, like, 5 minutes in, I'm just, like, daydreaming because I don't know, my brain just shuts off. And then a little bit older, as a teenager, I was dating someone who was very, you know, and I would, same thing, I would try, you know, I'd go in, I'm like, I'm going to learn something, and, you know, just daydream again. I don't know why, I just can't focus. I mean, I was even singing in that church. I mean, I was dedicated. I was trying, but it wasn't working. So it's been very off and on. As an adult, I have had conversations with my boyfriend now and his brother. They used to be Christians, active Christians. They would go to camp every summer, and they would, you know, go to church and everything. But their experience is a little different, too, because their father used to use religion to scare them, put fear in them as children. So as they've grown older, they've had to, you know, think about what God means to them, and, you know, is he someone to be feared, or, you know, and those conversations as an adult have actually made me less cynical. That's why I'm a 2 instead of a 1, because it's opened my mind more, so.
So would you say that the conversation, spiritual conversation, has been positive, or has it been negative, or?
The conversation with him and his brother were positive.
Well, he is your boyfriend, right?
I haven't really had many other conversations otherwise. I mean, when I was a waitress, people would come in and they would ask to pray with me when I'm in the middle of my shift.
How weird is that?
Very very weird and uncomfortable.
Did they give you a good tip, though?
Or? No, never. I'm sorry. They never would.
But at least they prayed for you.
They would pray for me.
Maybe they're praying for a tip.
So, I mean, I would just, you know, I would just try to get through it, but otherwise I haven't really had many conversations with other Christians.
That's so weird and awkward to, like, can I pray for you in the middle of...
A little bit.
Yeah. We do weird things sometimes. Rachel, how about you? What's your experience, whether going to church, visiting church, or even having spiritual conversations? What's that been like?
Well, like I said, I grew up in a Christian home. My dad's family was very Christian, and my mom was like a troubled teen who got pushed into a Christian high school, and that's where they met. So they took us to church growing up, and they were always like really laid back churches, not really like striking fear in you or anything like that. So they raised us that way, and I had certain family members when I was a teenager and I started getting into trouble that would like corner me at the family Christmas gathering and tell me I'm going to hell if I don't straighten up. And so those experiences kind of made me look at talking to Christians negative. So every time a Christian would talk to me, I felt like they were trying to convert me. So a lot of times I think it was my view, and it wasn't them actually coming at me trying to convert me. It was my view on it, and I was just like, no. Like I said, I'm a recovering addict, and I was in a 12-step program for a while, and the second step tells you to get a power greater than yourself. And so my first sponsor was a Christian, and so we talked a lot about the Bible and Jesus and stuff, and that's when I got really comfortable around Christians more, because I realized that everyone just has their own thing, and I could have spiritual conversations with people in the program in their faith instead of, you know, I thought they're trying to convert me. And so after that, I was more comfortable, but I realized also, even now, I'm uncomfortable talking to Christians because I feel like when I talk about my beliefs, I feel like I'm saying you guys are wrong. And I don't feel like that at all. I feel like everyone's right, I guess, if you want to be real positive about it. But it's right for you. You know what's, and I know what's right for me. Let's see, churches. And so whenever someone asks me to come to church or something, I'm always willing to go, because for me now, I'm an empath, so I like energy and stuff, and I know every time I'm at church, it's like magic. It's like all this positive energy and love, and I just like feed off of it. I really love it.
I appreciate that. Appreciate that. Hopefully you got that feeling today.
I did. Okay. Music was amazing.
Awesome. I'm not, you know, like. Then we're gonna sit here for an hour, then another hour. So you're actually giving the sermon. So I mean, you could mark this off on the bucket list. I preached at a church. This is like the big question. This is one of the reasons why we're doing this, based off your experience and just how you feel. And Josh, I'm gonna start with you first. So I mean, what advice or coaching tips would you give us, or people who call themselves Christians, what coaching advice would you give to them, to us, and how to approach you or anybody if they wanted to desire to have a spiritual conversation? What advice would you give?
I think at the end of the day, we're regular people. I mean, we have faiths, we have beliefs, but we don't need to let that incorporate or change the way we treat other people with opposing beliefs or opposing faiths. For me personally, I'm open to having these conversations, but I want to be approached as a regular human being. I'm not a subject. I'm not an agenda. You know, I like to be. I like if somebody came up to me, I want to talk with them. I don't want them to talk at me or try to convert me or change me, you know. Let's just have a conversation like two normal people.
Yeah, over a cup of coffee or whatever, just hang out.
Yeah, coffee.
You're a coffee drinker?
I don't drink coffee, but you can drink coffee and I'll listen to you.
I drink a lot of coffee. Rachel, how about you? What advice, coaching tips would you give someone if they were going to approach you or anyone that is not a Christ follower, what advice could you help them with?
Well, like I said about me being uncomfortable about thinking that you guys would feel like you were wrong, I'd hope to get the same respect as you approach me, not that you're right and I'm wrong. Just for me, it's more about watching someone talk about their life and how their faith has helped them in their life. And like, the empath in me, just the energy people give off when they're passionate about something, it just totally attracts me. Mm. And one piece of advice I give is, because I've been there with the whole, like, don't talk to me about Christian stuff, is don't take it personally if someone comes off negative. You know, do the Christian thing and just show them a bunch of love, because I think people who are hurt and stuff need the most love, so.
How about, I'm going to stay with you, Rachel. How about this whole idea of practice what you preach, like that kind of idea?
Oh, yeah.
Do you believe in that? Do you like, okay, if as long as you tell me a good story, you know, you're fine, or are you the kind of person that, you know, I need to see you do some works first? Like,
That's a great thing that you brought up, because that's something that's changed my life, is when I was a using addict, I stole a bunch of money from my family, and I felt really bad about it, and I went to my dad and I told him, hey, I just stole $500 from you, and he's totally Christian. He doesn't preach it at all. Like, I don't know why he's never talked to us about it, but he walks it. He just hugged me and said, I love you. And that changed my whole life. I got into the program and got clean because of that. Like, I was like, these people raised me. Like, how could someone so loving and caring, like, get a daughter like me who was, like, totally going off the deep end? But definitely walk the walk, because it has more impact than talking. Be an example. Yeah. That's what I try to do.
Thank you for sharing that story. How about you, Nichelle? How about what advice, tips, words, encouragement, or like discourage, like don't do this? You know, how can you help us or Christians in approaching someone who's interested in having a spiritual conversation, but how would you advise them?
Mine's kind of a combination of the two, but you know, be open-minded, you know, go in, try not to have, you know, judgments in your head already about whoever you're approaching. And try not to, you know, let their feelings or their beliefs, you know, hurt your feelings. You know, they're not trying. I mean, I'm hoping the average person isn't trying to hurt your feelings. And I would hope the same for me. You know, let's learn from each other. Let's share our experiences. And again, with the practice what you preach, I fully support that. I would love to see you guys, when you were talking about the gift cards, raising money for families in need, I love that. I love seeing people who say they're doing those things, you know, helping others, or, you know, volunteering, or, you know, doing something to back up what they say. And that would, you know, if I see you doing good things, I'm more motivated to, you know, hear what you have to say.
Yeah. That's good. Before we move on to the next, just to come back, anybody else want to add anything? Any other tips or any advice that you would give that, you know, when you hear other people, something like, oh yeah, you don't have to.
One thing we talked about before this discussion was meet people where they're at. That's like a good saying to when you're approaching people.
Yeah, when you say that, what help us understand what you mean by that.
It's kind of like just keep an open mind that the person you're approaching has their own views on stuff. They've been through certain things. So when you're approaching them, like, don't already have an idea of how they're gonna respond to you. Like, be completely open-minded and just play off of each other. You know, like, I have a problem sometimes, like, I'm not a big like people person, like a group of people. And so, like, when I'm in a group of people, I don't like chiming in and talking over people. A lot of people, some people, when they're in a conversation, you can tell that they're waiting for you to stop talking so they could say something. Like, don't give off that energy. It's never good for any conversation.
That's true. Anyone else want to add into that? Any other adjectives or thoughts?
I think it's a really deep and important conversation, but it needs to be something very, almost strategically and organically placed. I don't think it's something that you can just call up your friend and be like, hey, you know, let's have a spiritual conversation about God and Jesus Christ. I think it's something that really needs to have some nurture and care and softly introduce to that person. That way it doesn't almost seem like an attack to what they believe in, their values and their beliefs.
Yeah.
Right, like approach it more as a conversation instead of like, you know, preaching at someone, you know.
Yeah.
Having a conversation.
That's good. That's some good things. So we ask this question, right? We're coming to the end, folks. This is the third scale, third and last scale. We call it the openness scale. How open are you in having spiritual conversations? If a number 10, like, man, I love having conversations, I want more conversations. Number 1 is like, not interested. Rachel, where are you at?
I'm at a 10. I love having spiritual conversations, and like I said, I'm an empath, and I feed off of it. Like, I want to like myself, so that's basically why I do like spiritual things and follow the, like, you know, the Christian principles, is because it makes me feel good about myself, and I'm like, I hang out with myself more than I hang out with anybody else. So I'm going to want to like myself. And that's why I do those things, because I need to be comfortable in my own skin.
Josh, how about you?
I'm at an eight. Okay. I'm always open to having any kind of conversation, as long as you're, you know, peaceful and nice.
Yeah.
If it
be
challenges,
careful, be careful.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. That's why I had to add the statement after. Yeah, I'd like to consider myself an open book, and I really think it's important that a lot of people, but like I said before, this spiritual conversation is great idea, but it really needs to be not enforced, but introduced in a very, very delicate and organic manner. If a friend called me up right now and be like, hey, let's, you know, go grab a bite and let's, you know, talk about Jesus or the Bible or anything, and I'm like, you know, I'll catch you next time, you know. maybe like little by little, just make it a conversation.
That's good.
I would also say I'm an eight because I'm here today, which is pretty big deal. And so I'm learning to be more comfortable having these conversations. So I wouldn't say I'm a 10, like I'm like, yes, but yeah. I'm almost there.
You're almost there? We're in this series called One Life. This is actually the second week of this series. And we're going to be challenging everyone here to think of a person that they know that are in their circle, that they care for, that they love. Maybe it's a family member, maybe it's a friend, maybe it's a coworker. And this whole idea with this principle of this one life is, think about this one person that you can build a relationship with. One person you can build a relationship with and get to know them, care for them, and then having spiritual conversations. What are your thoughts about that? Like, is that like, don't do that? Or like, you know, if you found out that someone's like, hey, they're building a relationship with you, a genuine relationship, not like, hey, I'm trying to check something off, but a genuine relationship with you, trying to get to know you, and they were doing that, like, how would you feel about that?
Did I turn it off?
I don't know. There you go.
I promise I didn't push the button. No, I think that's great. I think, you know, thinking of someone who's already in your life, who you already have an established relationship with, is the way to go. I would not like, you know, if someone I didn't know, like, picked me to be their person, because then, like, their goal is to, you know, introduce me. So it should be someone who you're already pretty close with or have a good relationship with, and you feel comfortable, because, you know, spiritual conversations can be uncomfortable for everyone. Yeah. So as long as you're comfortable sharing with that person and you feel like they're open to having that, that's a great idea.
And how would you personally feel if one of your friends...
Yeah, I mean, that would be fine. I'm an eight on the spirituality conversation scale. So,
Rachel, how about you? How would you feel if someone in your circle?
I mean, my thoughts about this whole thing to begin with, the reason why I'm up here, I'm an introvert. I don't like being in front of a lot of people. I'm like sweating and I'm nervous.
I think you've conquered that today.
Well, thank you. Well, I'm totally inspired by this, and I'm like blown away. Like, I told my mom about this. She's like, are you sure they're Christians? Or this is probably a scam. and I'm up here to support what you guys are doing. I think it's amazing, because obviously Christians don't have the best reputations for being open-minded. And I think that you guys are like of, like, open-mindedness, because that's what we need, especially today, you know. And as for someone coming up to me and talking to me, I think as long as you don't have an agenda to convert them and just have the spiritual conversation, and like I said, meet people where they are with their faith, I think it's, I would be honored to for someone to pick me.
Oh, appreciate that. Josh, you want to chime in? You don't have to.
I think it'd take a lot of explanation at first. I'm open to it. I don't know. It's just, I'm thinking of it in the context of my life and my friends and them talking to me about something so off the rail that we would never have talked about before. So I'm just thinking of it in the application of my life itself. I'd be taken back, but I'm not opposed to having the conversation. I think it's important and it's valuable. It's just like I said, it's different.
Yeah, well, we have one last question, and this is probably one of my favorite questions. So I'm gonna start with you, Josh. If you can ask God one question, and He had to answer that question right away, what question would you, if there is a God, what question would you ask God?
I would ask God why they created us humans the way they did. Like I said, I come from a very science background, like show me proof. But there are things, both having learned them in textbook and also medically, you know, practicing, working in the emergency room, life and death kinds of things, that I'm just like, okay, that took a complete turn. That was not supposed to happen. Everybody was prepared for the expected outcome. Doctor can't explain it, nurse can't explain it, I can't explain it, pharmacist can't explain it. Nothing can explain it. So what is it? Is it a miracle? Is it something supernatural, pushing something else forward? So for me, I don't question God's existence. I question what was their intention, their purpose for creating us humans. Our thought processes, our physical capabilities, why if no other biological species amounted to what we've created and what we've done. So it's more of almost a science-based question too.
And so of all the questions that you could ask, right, why that one question?
I guess going back to just pure curiosity, and I had a once in a lifetime opportunity. I'm not gonna get it again. I think that's a deep and meaningful enough question to not be considered a wasteful one. I only got one shot, so I think that's the best question that I could think of.
Michelle, how about you? One question God had to answer right then and there. What question would you ask?
As a preschool former kindergarten teacher, I view the world through a child's lens sometimes, and so my question would be, why is there so much cruelness, violence, hatred towards one another? Why is there so much war? Differences of land, differences of religion, why aren't we treating, why aren't we treating others kindly, you know, if we're all here on the same planet? Why is there so much just ugliness, so much hurt and violence? So,
Why that question? I mean, of all the questions, why that?
I mean, we see it all the time. I mean, right now there's the war in Palestine, and it's just really heartbreaking, you know, as a kindergarten teacher who sees the world through a child's eyes, it's a beautiful, imaginative place where anything is possible. So out of all the possibilities, why is there so much hatred and meanness towards one another?
Rachel, how about you?
I would ask God, if He had to do it all over again, what would He keep and what would He change?
Why that question? I mean, it's a great question.
About what they would improve and stuff like that. And also, that is an open-ended question, and I could get as much time as I could with God.
Okay.
give me all His vibes.
There you go. I'm going to be thinking about that one later. That was a pretty good one. You know what? Can you do me a favor? Can you just give these folks a huge, huge applause?
One
of the things, I'm going to talk to you guys now, one of the things that I hope that we can take away, there's several things I wanted to hopefully take away from, but I think it's summed up.
We should come back more often.
Yeah,
we
should come back more often. There's this passage in the Bible, it's actually the Message translation, and 1 Thessalonians, these chairs are so comfortable, everything's falling out. 1 Thessalonians 2, it should be on your screen. This is the Message translation. Even though we had some standings as Christ's apostles, we never threw our weight around or tried to come across as important with you or anyone else. We weren't aloof with you. We took you just as you were. We were never patronizing, never condescending, but we cared for you the way a mother cares for her children. We loved you dearly, not consent to just pass on the message. We wanted to give you our hearts, and we did. I hope there's a couple of things that you could take away from. I'm going to give you a couple suggestions. First of all, people are open. People are open. People in your life are willing and open to have a spiritual conversation with you. The second thing is, and this is some hard for some of us, just listen. Just listen. Maybe it is over a cup of coffee. Maybe it's over tea. Maybe it's over lunch. Maybe you just listen to them. Listen to their story. Sometimes I think you heard it so many times, we're so willing to give and tell that sometimes we just don't sit back and listen. Even if you don't agree with them, even if you don't like their answer, just listen. Be their friend. Just be friends, you know? Just be there. Be friendly. Be friendly. Be friendly. Develop a friendship. Ask and listen. The third challenge I'm going to kind of present to you, and I think there's going to be a link on the screen. We have these questions. We want you to take these questions, maybe even use these questions. I think it's mvccballinger.cc questions. You could go out there and ask these questions. Maybe ask these questions of your friends. Maybe ask these questions of people you already know they have a relationship with God, so you could just have practice asking these types of questions. So not only answering these questions, but maybe you ask a question or two of a friend or a loved one. There's a lot of things that we have learned, and our challenge and our encouragement to you all is be friendly, be kind, be nice. As we think about this whole series in One Life, as we're going to be challenging you in the coming weeks, as we said last week, just pray. Start with prayer and seeking God. And if you do have one of those spiritual conversations this week, listen. Be their friends. Don't judge. Meet them right where they are. That is the end of our service. I'm going to pray. You can give them another warm, like, standing ovation again. That'd be awesome. Thank you guys so much. You did a great, great job. As you're standing, I'm going to pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord God, for another grace-filled day. I thank you for Josh. I thank you for Rachel. And thank you for Nichelle. I thank you for their bravery to come to a church and just tell from their heart what they believe, what they are in for, what they're not in for. I just thank you for them. I thank you for their kindness, their gentleness, even with us. And I pray that we've been kind and gentle to them as well. We just give you praise, Lord God, for all the things that you would do this coming week. In your precious name, amen.